Hey everybody, this is Diane. You are here for the Why, Lord, Why, or When, God, Will It Be My Turn? Marco Rubio edition of This Conversation Rocks.
And I am your co-host, Todd, from Los Angeles.
And so I've got to say, every time I think of Marco Rubio, I've started thinking about this really funny quote from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
All right, hit us.
I sent it to Todd earlier today, so I'm going to hit everybody else. I wish I could find a clip of Holden McNeil, who is Ben Affleck's character, saying this, but I can't, so you're getting stuck with me. So Holden says to Jay and Silent Bob, "I mean, you gotta grow, man. Don't you ever want anything more for yourself? I know this poor hapless son of a bitch does." He's actually pointing at Silent Bob. "I look into his sorry doe eyes, and I just see a man crying out. He's crying out, 'When, Lord, when the fuck can your servants ditch this foul-mouthed little chucklehead to whom I am a constant victim of his folly, so much so that it prevents him from ever getting to kiss a girl? Fuck! When, Lord, when? When's gonna be my time?'" So I just see Marco Rubio saying that.
With the same emphatic, yeah. I'm just trying. You know, you can see it, right? Ben Affleck as Marco Rubio in the movie.
You know, you're right. You actually can, which is kind of scary. All he needs to do is shave a little bit, keep that 5 o'clock shadow cleaned up.
Poor guy. Ben Affleck. I mean, not
yeah, exactly. And I think that the foul mouthed little chucklehead that he's trying to ditch, Donald Trump.
Well, of course.
So, I thought that we could talk about why Iowa isn't or is important, because we're right on the eve of Iowa. People caucus tomorrow. I thought we'd talk a little bit about who Marco Rubio is, since he's been running such a distant third that nobody's paying attention.
Well, first, I thought we might want to go ahead and see if we have any ability to tell the future. Go ahead and commit to your outcome.
Well, so as much as I hate it, and I hope to God I am wrong, I think that Hillary Clinton is going to squeak by on the left, and I think Nate Silver's right, and I think Donald Trump is going to win it on the right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is that what you're thinking?
I think so, too, so we'll see. Did you take it all from Nate?
No. I've been listening to and reading a bunch of different stuff this week, and I think that people are scared of change on the left, so I think there's a reasonable chance that Hillary's going to squeak through. Although there's a confounding factor that I thought we could talk about in a little bit. And I just think, unfortunately, Trump has too commanding a lead nationally and in the other states for anyone to overcome that.
Well,
plus, I think that Ted Cruz is a whiny little bitch, so... No offense to any whiny little bitches out there.
Okay. Yeah, so right now we have, according to 538, Trump has, depending on which way you want to calculate it, Trump has either got 68% or 56%.
And I think Nate Silver...
This is New Hampshire.
Yeah, and I think Nate Silver said that he's got a 48%, he predicts a 48% chance of winning for Trump, which is compared to a 41% chance of winning for Cruz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think the Republicans are going to have much of a surprise. I think it's going to be Trump, Cruz, Rubio, which is kind of what we're all expecting.
Carson, 1%.
Oh, no way. Man. So the last time I looked, he was not quite that low, but he was pretty low. Ugh. You were right. It just took him a little longer to be in free fall.
Oh, yeah. Just completely gone.
Yeah.
You know, next time around, we'll be like, who's that fucking idiot?
So who's going to get his support? Do you think Ted's going to get his support?
I think Ted already got his support.
Yeah,
right?
You're probably right. I mean, in terms of his supporters, not in terms of his personal.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, obviously those numbers went somewhere, and they pretty obviously went to Cruz.
So, you know, the thing that I keep seeing, the dichotomy that I keep seeing the pundits draw, which I think is somewhat appropriate, is that Cruz and Trump, and then of course on the Democratic side, Sanders, are the, quote, anti-establishment candidates. And I think that there is a strong anti-establishment passion in the country right now. So, you know, I think that's valid.
Yeah, to some degree. But again, it's not apples to apples when people say, you know, there's this strong anti-government. You know, yeah, if you're on the right, yeah, absolutely. It's just ridiculously strong anti. You know, these guys would vote for a little green man from Mars if he was eligible.
Hey, now, wrong podcast.
And they would think that that was amazing, that they were able to finally get such a great outsider, such a guy who's never been corrupted by American politics.
Ew.
Idiots.
Which is kind of, I mean, that is kind of the narrative about Bernie. He's never been corrupted by American politics, but he's definitely not an outsider.
Right, but that's on the left, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the right.
Yeah.
The left with Bernie. Bernie's a good candidate. He's got qualification. He's got skills. And he's outside the establishment, but he's certainly no outsider.
And he doesn't sound like your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving.
No, he does not.
Which, props to Susan Sarandon and a few other people who've made that comparison. I think it's appropriate.
You know, so here's the real question, though, right? Is, does what happen tomorrow, or what happened tomorrow by the time our poor listeners get to listen to this.
Right, although we're doing better.
So the question for our listeners, is tomorrow important? And of course, by the time our listeners listen to this, it will have been yesterday.
Right, we will have determined whether or not it's actually important.
Right, so. Which is, so why are you listening to us and not outside doing something constructive?
Right. Well, let's hope that people are going for a walk or going for a jog and they're listening to us.
And they're just laughing because they're like, yeah, I already know how this worked out. Thanks a lot, assholes. So the question, though, really, that we want to try to understand is, does it matter?
So I got to give some props to a couple of sources before we get deeply into it. Fresh Air did a really great podcast or radio show this week. Maybe it was a little over a week ago, called Why the Iowa Caucus Matters.
Because they're actually ahead of schedule.
Right. Well, she has a little bit larger editorial team than we do.
It helps when you have income, yes.
Yeah. So Terry Gross interviews a guy from the New York Times. He's a reporter named Trip Gabriel, who actually has been living in Iowa for the last year. And then there's an article on Huffington Post about basically things that are going to impact Iowa. And I figured I'd bring that up at some point, too. So those are my main sources for prepping.
Excellent. No, those are good sources. So what do you think? Does it matter? Does it matter?
Well, I think
any meaningful way.
I think it does and it doesn't. So, and I think the doesn't is bigger, and I think the doesn't is bigger on the Republican side, and I'll tell you why. Of course, I'm going to tell you why.
No, wait. Let me beg you, please, Diane, tell us why.
All right. So, since you asked so nicely. So I think it's important because it's the first in the nation, and I think people see it as a bellwether. I don't think it's important because Iowa is not culturally representative of the United States. It's largely white. It's largely evangelical. It's very conservative. So I think in that way, it doesn't really tell us a whole heck of a lot. However, Barack Obama shocked everybody by winning Iowa and went on to win the presidency. However, Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee were the last two winners on the right in Iowa, and where are they? They're still in the race, but they're at the kids' table.
According to news reports, Santorum's about to actually pull the plug.
It wouldn't surprise me to see several people pull the plug after Iowa.
Right. I think after Iowa, the funding starts to dry up and the free first class tickets go away. So
it's important for that reason, because it will narrow the field somewhat, at least on the right.
But will it narrow the field on the right in any meaningful way, right? Trump win or lose, is not going to drop out tomorrow. Right.
Absolutely.
Cruz is not going to drop out. Rubio is not going to drop out. Bush probably won't, although he should think about it. Christie should decide whether or not he wants to just, actually be in this race or be a governor. And everybody else. I mean, Santorum, Kasich, is Kasich still in?
Kasich's still in. He is, yeah.
Well, hey, not your ear, buddy.
Which is kind of unfortunate because he actually, I haven't read a lot about Kasich, but the little bit that I've read and heard, he does sound somewhat reasonable in terms of what's being offered on the Republican side.
Yes.
But
yes, he is. Yeah, Fiorina, she probably won't drop out quite yet. But yeah, I expect we'll see a few people go. And from that respect, what happens tomorrow does matter.
But will it make a big difference in the long run? I mean, Trump has such a huge lead in the national polls. I'm not sure that it will.
So this is how it can hurt Trump, right? Is not Trump doesn't have to lose for this to hurt.
Right, he just has to have a poor showing.
Right, if he wins but only by a little bit, then people will say, "Well, maybe, he's on his downward spiral."
Right, the narrative for both.
We will certainly say, of course, that he is on his downward spiral.
And if he wins by just a little bit or if he loses, then we have the narrative gradually starting to form that maybe Cruz and Rubio are more viable than we thought they were.
Right, and Cruz is not viable. He can win primaries, but he's not viable as a candidate any more than Trump is.
So I absolutely hope you're right, because I actually think he is just as scary as Trump. He's just a little more subtle about it.
Personally, I think that if it came down to Trump or Cruz, I'd have to murder Cruz for Trump so that Trump got the nomination.
Well, there are people who argue that Trump is going to be more malleable, ultimately.
Yeah, the thing is that he's not a good businessman, he's not a good negotiator, and he's not good with facts. There's very little in Donald Trump's career path to make me believe that he is in any way capable of actually running this country. But
never mind that he's a bigot, a xenophobe, a racist, and a sexist, but we won't go there.
All of which, of course, you're right, when they get to the general, he'll be like, "No, I didn't.
Right.
No, that wasn't me. I'm sorry, you misunderstood. I was misquoted. That was taken out of context. I absolutely am not a racist, xenophobic, sexist, misogynistic pig."
So,
what was that? No, of course I hate Muslims, blacks, Jews, women, and Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. I mean, not to make this too much about Trump, because this is the when will it be Marco's turn?
See, but that's the real problem that Rubio actually has, is that
we'd rather talk about Trump.
He gives a shit. He's begging for it to be his turn, and, even we don't care. All right,
Talk a little bit more about the chucklehead, Trump. I just, I've seen some really good memes going around, and I know I always say that, but it's a good point that this guy's scared to face Megyn Kelly, but he's going to be our leader in the face of dictators like Vladimir Putin and, the religious leadership of Iran. Really?
Right, or Chancellor Merkel.
Hey, she's badass.
She is. She's completely badass. I think she's great, but You know, so, but I just don't see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, with, no, you know. I don't either. I think you're right. You said it earlier online a couple days ago of, you know, what's he going to do? Hold his breath and pout? Did you say that or did somebody else say that?
No, somebody else said that.
It was good, though. I mean, because I think that's what he's going to do. He's going to hold his breath and stomp his feet.
Right. Okay, so.
But back to Iowa, right?
Right. Trump, it matters for Trump because he has to have a decimating win, right, so that he can keep his momentum. Otherwise, anything less than that, well, you know, maybe he's not quite the guy. You
right,
know, maybe,
there might
you know.
Be seeds of doubt.
Right. Everybody else, if Cruz somehow finishes number one, that's going to be an interesting thing. It's, you know, going to be a big deal for Cruz. It's going to hurt Trump, not going to affect Rubio. The money won't matter because Trump doesn't need to take money from anybody.
Right.
So,
Cruz
yeah.
hasn't really gotten any good endorsements, though. I mean, he hasn't really gotten any significant endorsements, so...
I mean, other than the
crazy pastor.
Yeah, the minister who thinks... What was it?
I think that, if I remember right, his shtick is that he wants to round up and kill homosexuals.
Or that Hitler was deliberately sent by God to kill
Jews.
Oh,
yes. Hitler was sent by God to kill Jews and bring them back to Jesus. Yeah, that was his other thing.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, again, this is the kind of shit that people who want to support Ted Cruz, you know, espouse, so...
Yeah, and people who want to support Ted Cruz who necessarily don't have those beliefs need to stop and think if they really want to sell themselves out like that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. So okay, we've kind of said it kind of matters, sort of.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about how caucuses work and how primaries work, primary elections, because Nick and I had a pretty good conversation about this yesterday, and I think a lot of people don't know.
All right, hit me. How do caucuses work?
So, and you are the political science guy, so please feel free to correct me, but, you know, caucuses are more difficult for people to access. So when you're talking about a primary election, you're talking about polls being open from, you know, here in Alaska, it's 7 in the morning until 8 at night. So people of all walks of life have access to those polls, or at least better access than people do in a primary or in a caucus. Because in a caucus, people get together for a couple hours, shut themselves in a room, and argue about which candidate they're going to support. So you have to be able to be available when the caucus is happening.
Right.
You have to be really impassioned to want to go and stand in a room and argue for your candidate. And one of the things that I read was that they expect 20% of registered voters from each party. So, you know, you're actually talking about a fairly small group of very passionate people deciding on the outcome of a caucus, as opposed to a more general representation of voters deciding on the outcome of a primary.
Right, absolutely.
And so caucuses tend to be really partisan, is the point of that.
Yes, very partisan, very extreme. This is how Obama was able to beat Hillary in the Iowa caucus.
And this may be how Bernie
wins. Yeah, so I mean, it's totally doable, but doesn't mean anything. And the answer is yes and no. But it only means something if we let it mean something. Because the truth of the matter is what the hell do we care if 20% of the registered voters, which is not going to be more than 60% of the eligible voters, and even that would be an amazingly high number
right.
in Iowa, which doesn't represent us in any way, shape, or form, us being the U.S. So we let it matter. I'll tell you why mostly we let it matter is because it gives the media something to do and then it gives us something to watch.
Well, and I think you're right. And I think the problem with that is that people like us and our 6 listeners, you know, we're thinking about this stuff and we're like, yeah, it's a dog and pony show and it matters because it's first in the nation and people may drop out, but it ultimately doesn't represent the U.S.
Right.
We're thinking about that, but most people aren't.
Right. And the people who are going to drop out are people who honestly should have dropped out long before now.
Right. They're people who are not viable anyway. Oh, and that's kind of another interesting thing that I learned about caucuses. And I kind of knew this, but now I'm able to articulate it better. So, for example, in the Iowa caucus, and this is what I wanted to say about the Democratic side, your candidate has to have 15% support to be viable. So the Martin O'Malley factor could be very interesting. I mean, depending on how... He's probably not going to get 15% support in just about any place where there's a caucus.
Right.
And his people have to decide to caucus with another candidate's representatives or supporters. So his people could potentially go over to Bernie and push Bernie over the edge.
True. But you're assuming that Martin O'Malley actually has supporters who are going to show up.
And, you know, I think that his number was something really tragic, like 2%. But, you know, again, if you're talking about really partisan, impassioned people, the one thing that I do have to say is that the support that I've seen for Martin O'Malley comes from people who are really passionate and hungry for change. So I think there's the potential for them to show up there. They could be a confounding factor. They might not be a factor at all. I mean, it's all part of the guessing game of Iowa.
Right. So here's the thing. I mean, I'm looking at 538, and, I mean, Clinton is just overwhelmingly...
Ugh, you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart!
Chance of winning, right? It's really high. That doesn't mean that they're not close or anything. And it doesn't matter, and it doesn't... The thing is, again, though, the same thing is true, right? Clinton winning, and Clinton winning by a landslide are two completely separate things, and Bernie doesn't need to win to be viable yet.
Right. And we know he's probably going to win New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, you know, it could be.
Yeah, the numbers are actually exact opposite in New Hampshire.
Yeah. You know, but the other thing that I think is margin of error, you know? Right. Every poll, even Nate Silver's, has a margin of error. So.
Right, but don't... Based on Nate's track record, don't go for
Clinton. Yeah, I know. God damn it. Let me have my little fantasy. So what? I wasn't sure what else I wanted to say about Iowa. Let me just take a look at my notes. So another Democrat who had an early win, and I didn't realize this, but this was big for him. Jimmy Carter actually had an early win in Iowa, so Iowa was important to him. You know, I just thought that was super interesting. That's a piece of history I didn't know.
There's nothing that makes me believe that it calls the outcome of the election.
Right. I mean, I think you're right. I just think it's interesting because it seems like there's more... In some ways, Iowa matters more on the left than it does on the right. And maybe it's because there's a smaller field. I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's see if that's true.
Well, I mean, a smaller field in terms of candidates. Of just offerings for voters. But, so the other thing that and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but the outcomes of caucuses depends on voter turnout, or supporters turnout, rather. Persuadable voters, so how much are people waffling? You know, if somebody's really waffling between Cruz and Rubio, let's say, and they're easily persuaded to switch their allegiance, that could make a difference. And
True.
Then the thing that they were talking about in terms of 15% to be viable, Huffington Post refers to this as late momentum shifts, and that basically means if your candidate's not viable, you've got to throw your support with somebody.
Okay, you know? So just a quick rundown on the results for the past years, right, to see if there's anything that looks like a trend. Okay, 2008, Barack Obama.
Right.
2004, John Kerry, who, of course, was the nominee. 2000, Al Gore, who, of course, was the nominee.
And the president. But I didn't say that.
All right. 96, there was nothing. 92, Bill Clinton finished fourth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
1988, Dukakis finished third.
And he went on to be the nominee.
Right. 84, Mondale didn't win. 80, Jimmy Carter... Actually, 76, Jimmy Carter did not win.
Really? Now,
Uncommitted won.
Interesting, because I read something that said that Jimmy Carter won, so my source must have been flawed.
He may have ultimately came out with that and stuff, but yeah,
but 37 was uncommitted.
37% of the candidates, or the caucus guys, were uncommitted.
So maybe what actually happened is... The results were uncommitted, and then when it came down to throwing the delegates at the convention, he got the delegates.
No, because this is... Yes. That's probably what happened.
So
72, 35% of it was uncommitted. And George McGovern, who was the eventual nominee in 72, came in third. So... Okay, well, so let's see what happens on the Republican side. Yeah, like you said, in 2008, it was Huckabee.
Santorum in 12, I think.
Yeah, they don't have... That's interesting. They don't have 12.
Oh, I think I remember hearing and reading about that, too. So it was called for a number of different people, and they ultimately called it for Santorum. But first they called it for somebody else. I almost want to say Huckabee. And then they called it for Santorum, and then there was this big kerfuffle, and the Republican Party representative in Iowa ultimately was like, gosh, Mr. Santorum, we're really sorry, you really did win. So,
oh yeah, I remember that.
And now would be a perfect time for everybody to stop and Google Santorum.
Or not. Santorum apparently is done. But
so it's not bad to keep that in people's consciousness.
Yeah, okay. 2000, George W. got it. 96, Bob Dole, right? So,
who seems like a liberal.
By today's standards, yeah. 92, there was no caucus. 88, Bob Dole, right? And, of course, George Bush went on to become the actual nominee.
Interesting.
84, there was nothing. 80, George Bush won, and, of course, Reagan went on to become the president. 76, Gerald Ford, who did go on to be the... Yeah, so I mean, yeah, it's just this completely mixed bag when you look at it.
Yeah.
Winning it doesn't get you... doesn't correlate with becoming president. In any meaningful way.
Like I said, I think the place where it matters is that... And we talked about this. It might dry up support for... especially on the crowded Republican side, people who will eventually drop. I don't know. It is an interesting conversation, though, around caucuses and what do caucuses mean and how are they different from primaries, because I think a lot of people don't stop and think about that.
Right. Yeah, and this is the whole thing, right, is that when you look at what's coming next, and this is important, we have New Hampshire primaries. We have Nevada caucuses, South Carolina primaries, and then it starts to get just primary crazy, right?
Right.
Georgia, Texas, and then followed by Florida, and North Carolina, Ohio, Arizona. Oh, it's only having a Republican primary.
What?
Weird.
Now, that I don't understand. I don't understand how a state can say, yeah, we're only going to have a caucus or a primary for one party.
My guess is it's on a different date and the calendar just doesn't go out.
Okay.
But it's Arizona, and Arizona would gladly tell you that the Democrats cannot have a primary.
Because, right. Jen Brewer.
Yeah, because all right, so whatever happens tomorrow, whatever happened tomorrow, we don't know if it has any correlation to anything.
Right. I mean, it could be huge. So, it could be nothing.
Right. So now we're gonna give Marco Rubio
his turn.
We're gonna proceed as if Marco Rubio's showing did not eliminate him.
Because I don't think it will, and that'll be part three. But I don't think it will.
All right. So should we start with what do you want to start with? Rubio's position on stuff?
Well, so I just kind of wanted to start with who he was and where he came from. I mean, I know that he's a senator from Florida, but I didn't know a heck of a lot about him. I don't know how much our listeners know.
Cuban-American.
Cuban-American, absolutely. Born to mother and father who were Cuban citizens. They naturalized, I want to say, in the 70s. Yeah, they naturalized in 1975, but he was born in Miami, so he is, by all standards that we know of anyway, an American citizen, so the whole, you know, birther crap that could potentially come up around him is not accurate. I thought this was interesting. He's actually not seeking re-election as a senator. He is completely devoting his energies to his presidential run. I didn't realize that.
Oh, it's too bad. Don't have a job, but...
The other thing that was kind of interesting, I didn't know this, but he started out in the Florida House of Representatives, where he was the Speaker of the House. He's an attorney. He graduated from the Miami School of Law. This is kind of scary. So in the Senate right now, he has chairmanship of two committees. Now listen to this with some irony. So he chairs the Commerce Subcommittee of Oceans, Atmosphere, Fisheries, and the Coast Guard. I'm just thinking, okay, another climate denier talking about oceans and atmosphere and fisheries.
Well, we'll get into it. It's a little more nuanced.
Okay, and his other committee that he has is the Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Western Hemisphere, Transnational Crime, Civilian Security, Democracy, Human Rights, and Global Women's Issues.
And we'll talk about that.
So I just thought that was really ironic. He actually might have a job when all is said and done, because he still works as an adjunct professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations at Florida International University, which I had never heard of before.
Yes, but in all fairness, most of us haven't heard of most universities.
Right, right. That's true.
The only reason you know about a university is either A, it's in your neighborhood, B, it's
somebody like Marco Rubio went there and you looked him up.
Right. Well, no, I was gonna say B, it's because it's Ivy League, right? And we all know those for some reason. Or C, they're in the news for being indicted for fraud, you know? And so that's how we know about them. Then you have to start looking them up.
Right.
Stuff, right? I have come to the conclusion that my education from the University of Alaska Anchorage is absolutely as valid as everything else that I could have done anyplace else in this country.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I said something nice about UAA.
Now they're going to hit you up for money.
Quit calling me. I plugged you guys.
You know, the next time they send me a piece of mail asking me for money, I'm just going to send them that clip from this podcast.
We're plugging you. Our six listeners are thinking about sending things to you.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I got to tell you, I went to ontheissues.org and looked up Marco Rubio because, sure, again, not paying a whole heck of a lot of attention to him. And my first thought when I looked at Marco on abortion, on the budget, all of this was, this is so tired.
Well, this is the one thing I really got to say, is that when I look at Rubio's positions on everything, I'm thinking, why are we even interested in giving this man a chance?
Right.
This guy is not any... He only looks moderate because he's not a racist bigot.
Bingo. Right?
Yeah, so... Yeah, keep it up, man, you know? Don't be a racist bigot, but other than that, you ain't got a whole lot. I too have looked at on the issues. I also have looked at his own statements on his website.
You know, I actually tried to go to his website today, and it was so slow. And I think it's because people might actually be looking him up in advance of the caucus. I don't know.
Excuse me. PBS, though, has got a great rundown on 10 major issues.
Oh, cool. Okay, hit us with that, because I don't have that. I just have the on the issues stuff pulled up.
All right, so on the budget, it is balance it and prioritize defense. He supports balancing the federal budget within 10 years and advocates freezing spending for everything but defense at 2008 levels. This is, again, this is typical Republican fiscal policy.
Yeah.
Climate change. It is real. It is not caused by man.
And so... Has Mr. Scientist Rubio explained to us what is causing climate change?
No, he just says, well, this is the short version, but he supported a Senate measure stating that climate change is real and not a hoax. Hey, what do you know? On a separate vote, he opposed the measure stating that human activity contributes to it. I do not believe human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate the way scientists are portraying it, Rubio said on ABC's This Week. This is in 2014. I do not believe that laws they propose we pass will do anything about it except destroy our economy.
So right. I'm just wondering if it really hurts when you're sitting on a fence like that to have the fence post shoved up your ass.
It really does. Weird, what happened? That was weird.
What happened?
We're getting power fluctuations.
Oh, you're still clear on my end.
Yeah, I know, but my monitor keeps going in and out. I was like, what the hell? I'm like, oh, okay, power problems. We are getting a storm.
I did not look up the Russian for earthquake. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to. should also look up the Russian for Arctic Blow 2016.
That sounds like cocaine.
That's what we call all the storms of the century that hit the United States, the continental, not continental, but the lower 48, and people go, ah! Yeah, Arctic Blow 2016. But our climate is always changing, said Rubio, and what they have chosen to do is take a handful of decades of research and say that this is now evidence of longer-term trend that's directly and almost solely attributable to man-made activities.
Because we have a handful of decades of research that drive our medical care and our science, but that apparently, that's okay.
Well, Republicans have this magical thinking thing that is just really weird. But basically, the thing to keep in mind is that he was swept into the Senate in 2010 with the Tea Party.
Right.
And I have to say that, you know, my mother the other day was saying, well, you know, the Tea Party's mostly gone.
No, huh? They're not. They're not.
Yeah, they're totally there. All right, so Obamacare, repeal it. Replace it with tax credits and fewer regulations.
Oh, by the way, you know, okay, horning in again on Marco's time. So Donald Trump is not really sure what he would replace the Affordable Care Act with, but he knows health care.
There's a guy who's never had to worry about how he was going to pay for his medicine.
Ever. Right. But when, Lord, when?
Internet. He opposed. Rubio, again, opposes net neutrality. Cocksucker.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, net neutrality is policy that internet providers should not charge different prices for different level content. In other words, that the pipe should be left free and clear.
Right, and people who support or oppose net neutrality basically think that little guys like you and me should be put in the slow lane because we can't pay like the big corporations can.
Right, right. This understanding of the internet brought to you by former Senator Ted Tubes.
Stevens. it's that series of tube thingies. He's dead, and he's still making us laugh.
worked on immigration. Worked towards reform, piece by piece. So it's like this guy's got a position on everything that is.
Well, and
like you said, I think sitting on a fence. Poll, but it's now really just shoved up his ass.
Right.
Because he opposed the path to citizenship.
While he supported it.
And then in 13 he joined the Gang of Eight, which drafted and published a comprehensive immigration bill through the Senate, which set up a path to citizenship. After it froze in the House, he has now changed his approach and is pushing for separate bills.
So scary Megyn Kelly actually called him out on his changing positions about immigration in the most recent Republican debate. Because he's held both positions, that there should be a path to citizenship, and fuck it, kick them all out.
Social issues, no surprise. The Supreme Court decision on gay marriage is the law of the land. Ban abortion after 20 weeks, but marriage is still between a man and a woman.
Right, and he supported.
So this is really interesting. I was listening to a piece on To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio, and I have to say that it is a phenomenal podcast.
Oh, okay, I'll have to look that up. To the Best of Our Knowledge.
Best of Our Knowledge.
Okay.
And they were talking about political correctness, which in and of itself is not an interesting topic. I think it's all silliness, and most people do. But then they interviewed somebody who was talking about tolerance and what it really means when you think about, well, they tolerate us. I mean, it means that they would stuff us in a gas chamber if it was socially acceptable to do that.
Thank you. That is exactly where I'm going with that.
Yeah, you know, so this whole thing about Rubio, so I mean, here it is, and this is not just at Rubio, this is at all of them, but, you know, Rubio disagreed with the Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex unions, but said that Americans must abide by the ruling. Personally, the Florida senator told CNN that he believes marriage is between a man and a woman, holding a nuanced position on Indiana's RFRA. Rubio believes some kinds of businesses, such as wedding photographers, should be allowed to turn away gay customers, and others, like hotels, should not.
Yeah, so he's jumping onto the RFRA. I mean, that'll be what we see if we get a President Rubio.
Right, and on abortion, he co-sponsored a 2013 Senate bill to ban abortion after 20 weeks since fertilization.
Supports transvaginal ultrasounds.
Oh, that wasn't on here.
Yeah, it was on the issues.
I'd like to transvaginal ultrasound him.
Yeah, no kidding.
making exceptions for the life of the mother, rape, or incest. But the thing is again, it's like, this is crap. Really, the tolerance thing really struck me, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a beautiful description of it.
You know, because
he would tolerate me because I'm a woman, but he would prefer if he can't. Well, he probably doesn't want to fuck me, but he'd prefer to stuff me in a gas chamber.
Yeah. You know, at least certainly, you know, this is the thing, right? That is the tolerance thing, which is what they are all preaching. You know, like, I personally oppose that, but, you know, we have to tolerate it. It's the law of the land.
Right.
Yeah, that means it's okay to be a racist, homophobic, xenophobic, sexist, misogynistic asshole.
As long as you do it in the semi-privacy of your own home.
Or preface it all with, it's just my opinion.
Right, but we have to respect the law of the land.
Right.
So I will point out on gay rights, since you brought that up earlier, he opposes the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. So he basically thinks it's okay to continue to
tolerate.
Not even tolerate.
I know.
To actively work against LGBT people in the workplace.
Of course. Basically, it's the whole thing of, on that one, he's gonna hide that one under business, right, regulations, because he's got some really nasty thoughts about regulations. We'll get to that in just a second. Taxes, cut corporate taxes to 25%, simplify individual brackets, add $2,500 tax credit.
And so, you know, I hear this stuff, and like I said, I looked over his On the Issues page, and I was just like, ugh.
Right, well, I mean, again, this is the whole Republican mantra of just cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. And I want people to look at Kansas and Michigan and understand these states are going bankrupt doing this shit and are dying of lead poisoning, too. Which,
I was just going to say, by the way, Michigan, hello.
And really think about, you know, what is this whole nonsense about cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes? Because if you cut taxes, who the hell is going to pay for your clean water?
Right.
Who the hell's going to fucking pave the road that the paramedics are going to come save your ass on when you got a heart attack?
Who's going to pay for those paramedics to be ready and waiting?
Right.
When you have that heart attack.
You know, or you want the police to come. Or, hey, you know, we all like to actually have electricity delivered to our house and the garbage picked up. And, you know, again, we're all living in a socialist country already, and it's okay. It's okay that we have socialist things. Anyway, sorry. Cuba, of course, he's trying to block the Obama administration's normalization. You know, and this is one of those things where, I mean, this is a Cuban issue, but the youngest generation of Cubans in Florida don't give a fuck about Castro or any of that nonsense.
And
you know,
quite
so
frankly,
that,
the young people of America don't either.
Right. But yeah, they're on the wrong side of that now.
Yeah,
in Florida,
they're really still holding on to Cold War Kennedy era politics.
Yeah, yeah. In a in something that made no sense when Clinton was president. Certainly, it made less sense even now. Then there was a few other things I wanted to say about Rubio on the issues. And, of course, he wants to scrap the deal with Iran. And, you know, I mean, that's just all whatever. Oh, but this is one that I did not realize, right? He's a proponent of a permanent U.S. presence in Iraq. So, hey, all your parents out there with sons and daughters in our military, ask yourself if you think that having your sons and daughters permanently stationed in Iraq is something you want to get behind.
Well, he did listen to Bush 1's cabinet when they said, you break it, you buy it, apparently. Because it sounds like Marco Rubio wants to buy it.
Well, all of the neocons do. And truthfully, right, from his position on everything, this guy's a neocon.
He is. I agree with you.
Right, which really makes me wonder, why the fuck were you giving this guy any time? Because we might as well just deal with the clowns that we got and let them get beat.
I think the reason we're giving this guy time, and I say we, the general we, not just you and me, is that there are people who are scared of Trump. They're scared of his bellicosity, and they think that Marco Rubio is a viable alternative. And I think what we've demonstrated here is that he's really not. He's pretty damn scary. He doesn't want people to have equal rights. He basically wants to hold us at 2008 economic levels, which, didn't our economy crash in 2008? Wasn't that the year?
Yeah, it did, right? Yeah, that was when...
You know, he wants to scrap healthcare reform, which, yeah, crazy. Some people still want to be right there with him, but he has nothing viable to replace it with. He doesn't have any plans for covering the people who will lose coverage if he scraps the Affordable Care Act. You know, I mean, this guy he's scary. He's just quieter.
Right.
And that actually kind of brings us to the third part of the podcast, to Act 3, which is Marco Rubio's long game. So I read a really good article. Are you done saying what
yes.
you want to say? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I'm not skipping ahead.
I've decided I am very done talking about Marco Rubio.
So I read a really good article that said, and this was by Benjamin Wallace Wells in the New Yorker. His campaign is basically managing expectations that it's okay to have a respectable third in Iowa, and his campaign is basically saying generic is a strategy, because they're looking at a way to just kind of hang on and hang out in the background until people get scared enough of Cruz.
Oh, man, I so just got this image in my head of a white bag with, in blue letters, Rubio.
Generic is a strategy. But, you know, basically this guy who wrote this article says that he's just trying to hang in there until people get so scared of Cruz and
but the problem is they're not going to get scared of Cruz and Trump and then go to somebody like him. Right. I mean, when I look at this, this is what shot the Democrats in the foot for a long time, was like, well, if you can have, you know, you have all these Democrats that were running like as Republicans, basically,
right.
You know, they had found a new viewpoint that was nuanced and way more conservative than it used to be. But the truth is if you can have a real thing, why not just get the real thing?
Well, and you know, it brings to mind the Talking Heads song, Same as It Ever Was. You know, that's what these guys are, same as it ever was. The bottom line is, though, is that, you know, all of the Republicans are the same, which I think is what you're saying about the Democrats who found themselves and found a new vision.
Then got beat. And the reason they got beat is because you're not offering an actual plan.
An actual alternative.
Right. You know, and the thing is that while this cute strategy of the generic, first of all, generics work when there's price points. But there is no price point for voting for an idiot. So people who are likely to vote in the Republican primaries, which are more conservative, way more conservative, they're going to continue to vote for guys like Trump.
So the question that I have for you, because I don't have a good answer, is that if they get sick of Trump and Cruz and want to turn to somebody, who do they turn to? You know, the conventional wisdom right now is that they're going to turn to Rubio, but I mean, I think we've pretty much shown that Rubio is
more of the same.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not nearly as charismatic.
I agree.
So, man, Republicans, you got a problem. But hey, let's add to your fire. Let's fact check the last debate.
Oh, yeah, there were some pants on fire there.
Yeah, so, of course, Ted Cruz with his claim that 6 years of Obamacare has been a disaster, biggest job killer. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs.
I thought that was so funny. Lost their health insurance.
Lost their doctors, seen their premiums skyrocket. Well, since the bill was signed into law in March of 2010, our jobless rate has fallen from 9.9 to 5.
Right.
The economy has added more than 13 million jobs.
I'd love to know how many jobs were added in the healthcare sector, because I'm not seeing people lose jobs in healthcare.
No, absolutely.
I'm just not.
You lost insurance? Not really, because the share of Americans without coverage reached a historic low of 9% last year. That's according to the government.
Can I have my little corporate rant? Because you know I have to have my corporate rant when we talk about healthcare.
Absolutely.
So,
but hold on one second.
Okay, you go.
More than 16 million people gained coverage since 2013.
Absolutely. And the only thing that I would say where I agree with Ted Cruz, and I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth, is that we are seeing an increase in premiums and an increase in deductibles. It is not because of the Affordable Care Act. It is because of the corporatization of America. It's because we're letting insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies dictate what we pay.
Right, because if you look at profitability, insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies are incredibly profitable.
Exactly. And if you look at health corporations, because you and I talked about this, if your local hospital is traded on the New York Stock Exchange, odds are you're going to get screwed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my corporate rant. Thank you.
Completely agree. And by the way, I don't think that you agreed with Ted Cruz in any way. You just found a statement he made not to be completely inaccurate.
Not to only tip the needle a little bit on the pants on fire scale.
Right. Well, because the statement itself is not inaccurate. Premiums have gone up. Everything that followed that, though, was completely inaccurate.
Right. All of his rationalization for why premiums have gone up
but it's like
doesn't
say,
hold water.
It's like, for example, if Ted Cruz was to say the sky is blue, you would say, oh, I agree with Ted Cruz. The sky is blue. And then he would go on to say, it's because we live in the blue eye of a giant.
I was going to say it's because God made it that way.
Well, that could be the other way, too. Right? both of which we would go, no, the sky is blue because of the scientific blah, 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 blah.
Right. Or we would get Neil deGrasse Tyson to do the mic drop for us.
Damn! Flat Earth, motherfucker.
And if you haven't looked that up, I highly recommend Larry Wilmore. Larry Wilmore, right?
Yeah.
The Nightly Show. Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson versus B.O.B.
Otherwise affectionately known as Bob.
A fucking idiot. No, because I don't want to insult Bob, right?
Right, because we've got some good Bobs in our lives.
Right, yeah. Jay and Silent Bob. And,
yeah.
No, B.O.B., right? Bring your own bullshit? I don't know.
Bring your own brain?
Clearly he's not doing that.
And Neil said it right, though. He's like, you know, you can still be a good rapper and have no understanding of science.
Right, but I'm starting to wonder why we should even... Okay, anyway, so Marco Rubio. Hey, I'm going to give Rubio...
Once again, we're off the topic of Rubio because it's kind of like that scientific phenomenon when you turn the two wrong ends of a magnet together. It just kind of keeps pushing away. We're the same way. It's like we're the wrong end of the magnet because we just keep veering away from the subject.
Absolutely. All right, so Rubio, you cannot destroy ISIS with a military that's being diminished. Cruz. Obama has dramatically degraded our military. Now, of course, this Republican, Jim, gets touted out every time, all the time.
Right. Unless you're Rand Paul.
Right. So the charge that Barack Obama has starved the Pentagon has become a refrain for the GOP's idiots. But I'm sorry, I didn't say that. But anyway,
yeah,
but the quote I'm reading didn't.
Oh.
But amounts spent on weapons modernization about the same as they were when George W. Bush was president. Any military cuts GOP contenders are complaining about were approved by both the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress. The military budget is being squeezed by the insistence of lawmakers in both parties that money be spent on bases and equipment that the Pentagon says it doesn't need.
Because who puts the budget together? Yes,
right.
I know the president has a veto pen, but who puts the budget together?
But he does not have the line item veto, so all he can do is veto the entire budget bill.
And make them go back to square one.
Right, the budget bill is passed up or down by the president. Right, that's all there is to it. Presidents are not responsible for setting the budget. This is hilarious, right? Because where is Ted Cruz from? Texas. Huge freaking military bases of questionable value.
Who still did not successfully pull off Jade Helm.
Or defend us from Jade Helm. I get so confused as to what we were doing. My helm was made of jade? What?
I've realized I laugh a lot when we podcast, and I think our listeners must get really tired of hearing me laugh, but it's very therapeutic for me.
I think that's why the six people we got keep with us, right? It's because they like to listen to us laugh. Anyway, fuck these guys, right? Not arming the Kurds. The truth is, we are. Chris Christie. Who? Yeah, Chris Christie. For the 45-year-old construction worker out there who is having a hard time making things meet, he's lost $4,000 in the last 7 years in his income because of this administration.
Wow.
That's really specific, and I really love it, except it's not true. The latest federal jobs report showed that the average weekly earnings have risen 2.7% annually since 2009, much faster than national average for non-management employees. In other words, hard hats now had their earnings jump to $1,021 per week in December, compared to a weekly income of $858 7 years ago.
I think he's a little confused. It's the people who are wasting gas sitting on that motherfucking bridge in New Jersey who have seen a loss of income. Sorry. Yeah, I did see that.
I'm good with it. Cruz defending his threat to carpet bomb Islamic State fighters. It's what we did in the first Persian Gulf.
No, it's not.
We had precision guided weapons. Carpet bombing is what we did in Vietnam. Carpet bombing is what we did in World War II.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. And you're right. Vietnam is accurate, but I was thinking all the way back to World War II.
Anyway, it's a minor thing. It's obviously just hyperbole on his, carpet bomb is just, hyperbole and everything. So it's hard to really just bang Cruz for that one, other than to say, exactly what is it you want us to do with a group of terrorists, a terrorist organization such as ISIS, that is spread so much through the civilian population.
Yeah, so integrated in the civilian population that if we carpet bomb, quote unquote, we're killing a whole hell of a lot of people who aren't members of ISIS.
So, just to end all of this on a note that's a little more positive, 10 things Bernie Sanders believes.
Now you're a man after my heart.
Limit corporate and interest group spending in campaigns. Yep. Charge companies for carbon emissions. Yep. 2 years free tuition at state colleges. Reform the student loan program. Yep. Break up big banks. Yep. No federal handgun waiting period. Some protection for gun manufacturers. Ban assault weapons. Okay. Not necessarily my position on all that, but we'll be okay with that. Healthcare. Change to single-payer government-provided healthcare. Or in the words of Hillary Clinton, take your health care away from you completely.
Right. And her managing expectations is she just wants status quo.
Yeah.
Go
Hillary,
ahead. Yeah.
Hillary's...
She's fighting a hard fight, man. And her hard fight is hang on to the status quo as much as I can. And scare the hell out of everybody.
So I can offer you more of the status quo.
Right.
You know, and the thing is that when it comes down to it, if it is Hillary who is the nominee, I will gladly walk in, pull the mantle, vote for Hillary, and not feel bad about it at all.
I'm going to hold my nose, but I'm going to do it, because the alternative is not viable.
Right, because the alternative is Cthulhu.
No, even Cthulhu would be a better choice.
Why vote for the lesser of two evils?
Exactly.
Cthulhu 2016. Oh my god. Okay, so immigration, offer a path to citizenship, waive some of the deportations. No, there we go. Taxes, raise some taxes on the wealthy, cut some taxes on the middle class.
What a good idea.
I like that idea. Iraq, Islamic State, and Afghanistan. Opposed the Iraq war, calls for troop withdrawal as soon as possible, anti-war activist. He believes that the U.S. should focus less on international conflict and more on domestic needs. Supports current talks with Iran and is critical of Netanyahu. Which right there is like so outside the Washington, D.C. political thinking, right?
Well, and what's so fascinating is that he's our only Jewish candidate.
Oh, good point. Yes, that's right. That's right. But yes, so, critical of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Who is a hawk.
And a moron.
Yeah.
A hawkish moron? A moronic hawk.
They do exist. They both exist.
Yep.
And they hang out together.
God. So yeah, anyway, Sanders 2016.
And so... Yeah, what's wrong with any of those positions? Oh, I'm hard-pressed.
And then one other thing. I guarantee you that Sanders is not going to talk about how he tolerates you.
Right. And...
Unless he's having to talk about Donald Trump.
And who's the guy who has been consistent for the last 40 years?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just drill it down too finely, but Hillary was a young Republican.
Of course she was.
Donald Trump was all over the fucking map and still is. Marco Rubio has had multiple position changes. That kind of sounds scary.
Well, I mean, did you see the Colbert thing the other night where he had
Trump debate himself.
Yeah. By the way, I'm really happy to see the return of the Colbert Report.
Yes.
Now on CBS.
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock. Right?
So we agree on Bernie 2016.
Bernie 2016.
That's right. Hey, so I've got to fuck that guy.
Oh, only one?
Well, I mean, there are tons, but I'm kind of limiting myself, and this one really pissed me off.
Okay, is it the congressman who thinks that his opponent should be sitting at home barefoot and pregnant?
It's kind of similar. May not be the same guy.
Okay.
So this guy is actually a Republican senator in Kansas state, in their state house. He's not a national guy.
Which, by the way, just so everybody's clear, this is where Brown backing is destroying the state.
So he thinks that women in the Kansas state house should have a dress code.
Oh, right. Right. I saw this. That's right. Okay.
Yes.
Continue.
So he thinks that women wear tops that don't cover enough. He cited a blouse that came way past the rib cage as one of the most outlandish ones. And he said his dress code was needed to prevent distractions from the legislative process. So he's not making any kind of dress code for men, because men are totally appropriate and they wear suits. But he's... Specifically says that women should not have low-cut necklines and should not wear mini skirts because those are inappropriate.
So, again, kind of that whole thing of insert the word burqa and then ask yourself, asshole.
Well, you know, and he obviously is so limited in his ability to focus on more than one thing at once, that he cannot see past a woman's neckline if he's trying to legislate.
And, you know, it's probably more a reflection of the fact that he can't control himself.
Yes. So
and,
you
and
said,
sir, we would recommend that if you cannot control your baser instincts and urges, that you seek medical help immediately.
Exactly.
Give up the Viagra. There are other chemicals that you may wish to consider in this case.
You know, there we could give him some Lupron. That would chemically castrate him. I would be fine with that.
Kind of where I was going.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be totally fine with that. So, fuck Mitch Holmes of Kansas and his dress code. Fuck him right up the ass.
With a sharp, pointy stick.
We are pulling no punches today. So that's my fuck that guy.
I just, any guy who says that women need to be covered needs to go look up ISIS.
Yeah, really.
You know?
I mean, I gotta tell you, with the new job that I am going to be transitioning into, am I gonna wear some of the cutie little dresses that I've been wearing to the private clinic that I work at? No, because I'm gonna be working in a men's prison. But I have the wherewithal to understand that. And I certainly don't need someone like Mitch Holmes telling me how to dress appropriately for my job.
Right. And, Mr. Holmes, from the great state of Kansas, which is going bankrupt because of your Republican Nirvana bullshit, don't you think you have more important problems to solve today?
Than how women are supposed to be dressing? No shit.
Asshole.
Yeah. So what about you? You gotta fuck that guy, or you gotta know, by the way?
No, not really, other than just this ongoing general, I mean, I think this whole episode just became one big fuck that guy. I look at it, because it was like, we were gonna give Rubio some time, and then fuck that guy.
Yeah, we just didn't want to give him any time, which is kind of the way everybody feels, I think. I don't know, we'll see how important Iowa is, right?
Absolutely, and I think this is the end of episode 2016-03.
Except, of course, I have a Neil Gaiman quote for us. I thought this was really appropriate for the election period, so that's why I chose it today of all days. So it's from the story Coraline, and the quote is, "Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten."
Oh, I like that one a lot. Good pull. Very good. Well done.
Yeah, I didn't write it, but I sure love it.
All right.
All right, so everybody take care, and we will see you in about a week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm not a robot without emotions. I'm not what you see. I've come to help you with your problems so we can be free. Mr.